I can tell you, as I stated earlier, sir, that the moment that the shift surrounding the president were aware of an actual threat.
That's a threat right there. The guy's on the roof and everybody's yelling at him.
Yes.
And directing the officer's attention to him. The rally was not paused at that point, correct?
We are currently still combing through communications and when communications were passed.
Well, I can point you to this communication. It's 2 minutes before the shots started ringing out. Director Cheadle, yes or no? Was there ever a moment where the Secret Service actually considered pausing the rally?
The Secret Service would have paused the rally had they known or been
told
there was an actual threat.
The answer is no. Correct?
I can speak to you in generalities.
No, I don't want generalities.
I
want specifics.
The
answer is no. You did not consider pausing the rally, correct?
The people that are in charge of protecting the president on that day would never bring the former president out if there was a threat that had been identified.
Well, they did, because we've now identified 3 points in the 20 minutes before the shooting that the threat emerged.
What gets me about so much of this is that it's there are a lot of Democrats that are asking these questions and saying there's something seriously wrong here. There's something seriously wrong with the lack of information. I mean, how do you go to this? I feel like I could go on a whole other rant about how you can show up to one of these meetings. And this was all by design. I mean, you can't tell me that this woman is unprepared. It's not that she doesn't have the answers. It's that she doesn't want to give them. How do you show up to something like this and you don't have all of those answers? Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We are at the top of this first hour. I mean, where to even start? Because we have the ongoing Secret Service hearings. Biden's out. They're looking like they're going to push Kamala, but we'll see. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack. So your host is here, Dana Loesch, with you. Top of the first. You can listen across the country. You can also tune in. If you're not listening terrestrially, you can stream the show. You can watch the simulcast as well. Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble. Like, where else are we? We're everywhere. And we're going to get into absolutely everything today. There's a lot to hit. So first and foremost, we've got and that was a Democrat who is asking the questions of the Secret Service head, Cheadle, just then. There were, and I'm looking at some of my notes, a number of other Democrats that were asking genuine questions because people need to realize this shouldn't be a partisan thing. It shouldn't be a partisan thing because, you know, you already have you have Democrats that are a Democrat president that is protected by Secret Service. And you want to know whether or not it is something that is systemic. That's what you want to know. There are so many really good. I don't even know where we're going to where there's just a lot to unpack here. So we got the Secret Service hearing. We also have Biden is out. Biden is out, and I gotta say, you are absolutely correct to think that it is super weird for a sitting president of the United States to announce that he is not seeking re-election and announce it through a statement that somebody else wrote and a statement that they put on X. And he hasn't addressed the nation or anything. No, he hasn't addressed the nation, hasn't anything. You're absolutely right to think that this is weird, because it is weird. It's completely bizarre. You're absolutely right to think that. And I've got to tell you, it reminded me, when you had LBJ, can we just do real quick audio soundbite flashback 23? The last time something like this happened, LBJ went in front of the country and said, I'm not running. Watch.
I will not seek, and I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
I'm telling you. So he goes on television and says he's out. Biden hasn't been seen. He has been holed up at his beach house. He hasn't been seen. He puts out a statement that someone else wrote. He hasn't been seen. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Super weird. You haven't seen him. You haven't heard from him. He, in a separate tweet, announced that he was backing Vice President Kamala Harris. And you've had the Clintons that kind of went all in on her already. A lot of, it's just very odd. And it, who's running the country? He announces that he is unfit to run, basically. So how in the hell is he still fit to serve? Who is running the country? That's the million-dollar question right now. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who's running the country. So a lot of questions here. One of the things that we're going to get into is the, well, everything with everything that you're going to want to know about the convention. So we're going to get in, we're going to get into all of that here coming up. The party, what that means, we're going to break it down because you have to realize Biden's endorsement isn't binding. And so anything could still happen. It's not official. She's not the, she's, you know, suggested that she's the nominee. She's not the official party nominee. She hasn't gotten the nomination. This could go sideways. There's a million different ways this can go. So we're going to talk about all of that coming up, just so you're aware, because the Democrat convention is a lot different than the Republican convention. You don't just have regular delegates in the Democrat convention. You've got super delegates in the Democrat convention. And super delegates were Democrats' way of basic, well, not basically, it was Democrats' way of robbing the average person of their ability to select their nominee. So we're going to talk about all of that because they constitute about 15% of the delegates. So it's a big enough number, especially when the contest is close, like back in 2016 when Hillary Clinton stole it from Bernie Sanders using superdelegates. So we're going to get into all of that so you can be set up because it's not a done, it's not a set deal. Also, who's going to be stepping up? Who's going to be stepping up? Who are all of the competitors to this? And we're going to, it's like a game of chess. We're going to watch all of it. Now, in the meantime, Biden dropped out on National Ice Cream Day. And the Clintons were immediately out with a statement. They immediately came out, oh, he's kept an extraordinary career, blah, blah, blah. The media is trying to rehabilitate this guy so bad. They're really trying to rehabilitate. Oh, he's so great. The Joe Biden, he's so good. And they're also trying to get ahead of any kind of narrative disruption with Kamala Harris, too, which has been very interesting to watch. Obama didn't officially endorse. I mean, he had this... He didn't endorse another candidate. He hailed Biden's decision to exit the race. And the statement he said, oh, he's consequential president, dear friend and partner, blah, 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 track record, blah, blah, blah. Joe's never backed down from a fight, blah, blah. And then he goes, for now, Michelle and I just want to express our love and gratitude to Joe and Jill for leading us so ably and courageously during these blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Interesting, though, that he didn't back anybody, don't you think? Interesting. It is going to be a battle of factions, but they're also trying to look and see who is maybe, I mean, really who can do it. Biden's still tweeting. He's like, we're the United States of America. I've dedicated him a shut up. Nobody's even paying attention to you. The Biden HQ Twitter account was apparently gone. And nobody's paying attention to him. It's done at this point. It's done. I mean, here's the big question. This is a coup by the left. It is a coup within the left by the left. They've dethroned their own leader that they picked, that their party machine picked for another leader that their party machine didn't actually want. It was like a Clyburn deal. You have to remember, when Kamala Harris exited the Democrat primary, she was trailing Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, she was trailing him in the primary when she got out. She was in last place. So for all of this talk of intersectional politics and everything else, they didn't want Kamala Harris. And they I don't know what part of her identity they're going to go with first. Is she Indian American? Is she Black American? What are they going to do? I mean, they got to check all these boxes. Which one focus groups the best? She was behind Pete Buttigieg. She is a vastly unpopular candidate, super unpopular. And she's easy to beat, but you can't go heavy with DEI. It's a weird thing. We're going to get into all of that. Don't worry. But she was not a popular and has never been a popular candidate. And she also has a record. Her record's disastrous. She was what? A DA, and then she went to AG, and then she went to senator. Now she's, you know, finds herself by way. I mean, she is a DEI hire, but she's now they're considering her because she's just their second in charge. Golly, golly. So Obama hasn't fully officially endorsed. Biden has endorsed her, but only in a tweet. We haven't seen him. there's all these rumors that he had a medical emergency and all this stuff. There's a lot of rumors floating around out there. But as far as the contenders, I mean, who else would it be beyond Kamala? Let me tell you something. The party of Bernie Sanders, the party of intersectional politics, is not going to stop being box checkers. They're not going to stop doing any of that for some milquetoast, white, moderate Democrat governor. And that's the thing that makes me lean against Bashir or even Josh Shapiro or even Gretchen Whitmer, even though she's a woman, or even, you know, or J.B. Pritzker, definitely. So they're contenders. I mean, when you look at the Democrat bench, it's a hot mess. It is a hot mess of a bunch of D.C. villains. They look like D.C. Z-list villains, like Joker's helpers. I don't even know. But early voting starts in 60 days. She has, if Kamala Harris is going to cement her position, she has so much to do. She has to develop an entire theme, DNC theme. She's got to develop a strategy. She has to have outreach in every state, particularly battleground states. She will assume the Biden war chest that came to Biden Harris. She doesn't take the PAC money. The PAC money's different. She will not take that. But there's a lot of stuff that she's got to do in order to cement her position. She has to have an entirely new team. She has to have new messaging. They've got to cut ads. They have to, I mean, this is, in this short amount of time, it is a very daunting task to do what she has to do to cement her position. And I just don't think that she is competent enough to do it, nor do I think the people around her are competent enough to do it. We're going to talk about all that. But it is an absolute, this is a mess. Now, coming up, this is what we're going to be hitting. The latest with Secret Service. Yes, the chiefs had rejected requests for more beefed up service. The audio that is coming out of this hearing is the Secret Service hearing right now in front of House Oversight is insane. We're going to discuss some of these sound bites because you deserve answers. We all do. The DNC convention, I'm going to run down exactly how this is going to work because it's going to go to an open convention. Biden still has to release his delegates. He's got a couple thousand delegates here before he votes. And we're going to discuss how this open convention would work. And then the superdelegate factor and how Democrats have been amending their bylaws since 1968, when you had McGovern lose to Nixon and they realized what a disaster all this is. And then that followed up with Carter and Reagan. And so then they didn't trust the people to pick the nominee anymore. So they changed it to where it really is ultimately the party bosses that do it. We're going to explain how that works and how the last time they amended their rules was 2017 following the 2016 election. We're going to get into all of that because their whole system is a setup to check the little people. It's exactly what it is. Is Jill still doing the fundraiser in Paris? She was going to be in Paris for the Olympic Games, and she was going to host this huge, swanky fundraiser, just like in days. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We've got all of the latest with the weirdest presidential cycle. We thought the 2016 was the weirdest. Scratch that. 2024 said, here, hold my beer. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, wait, at the box office, Twisters is back, but another tornado movie? Another one? Okay. It's a movie about tornadoes.
Looks like 10 of them about sharks.
Yeah, but at least that, you know, I don't know. It's They say it's a huge, I just don't even, I find this so boring. I think I'd rather gouge my eyes out. You know what? I'd rather go down a hot slide in St. Louis in August in shorts than go to the theater and watch this movie.
Write that down, Steve.
Good night. Would you like to sit in a dark theater for 2 hours and watch a movie about a tornado? No. No, I wouldn't.
Thank
you.
Stories about how much they made over.
I'm going to go to the doctor and get more middle fingers sewn onto my hand so I have more to extend to the people who make these types of movies. That's your headline. All right. Next up, this the Miami airport was plunged in a lockdown because there were reports of a woman stabbed multiple times. Footage showed people running to safety. This was in Miami-Dade. The police did confirm that it was on shutdown, but they didn't give any more details, really. So something happened. There you go. Something went down. I love our news. Just so great. So informative. Just like when they were asking questions about Biden's, you know, cognitive abilities. So great. CrowdStrike. Apparently, they said that the update that caused the global outage likely skipped checks. Of course it did. You know why? Because we live in a damn Simpsons simulator is why. CrowdStrike, the update that caused global outage skipped some checks and some, you know, good job. Good job cutting corners on that. The apparently, there was a fire at a big church, the First Baptist in Dallas. It caused a secondary chapel to largely collapse. It was a big old bad fire. There was like smoke that you could see for miles away that were rising up. They said it was the four-alarm blaze and that it would happen between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. That's when operations began to finally shut down on Saturday, but it took them a long time to get it under control. We have more on the way. Stick with us. Do you ever ask yourself how you can work this hard and still be in debt? I mean, the piles of overdue bills, the threatening phone calls, the constant stress of wondering how you're going to make ends meet each month, it just won't stop. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. They've developed aggressive new strategies to end your debt permanently. Zero Debt USA stands between you and the bill collectors. They negotiate with creditors to lower or even forgive what you owe, and they do it all without bankruptcy or new loans. The bottom line is Zero Debt USA has powerful strategies that zap your debt quickly, so you have more money in your pocket every month. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive and you don't want to miss out. Visit zapmydebt.com and talk with one of their debt relief strategists for free and find out how fast they can get you out of debt. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. Visit zapmydebt.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just going to say it. If you think that there is consensus among the people who want Joe Biden to leave, that they will support Kamala, Vice President Harris, you would be mistaken. And I'm gonna say that because if they're gonna come out and say all their little things on background off the record, but they're not gonna be fully honest, I'm gonna be honest for them. I'm in these rooms. I see what they say in conversations.
She sees what they say.
A lot of them are not just interested in removing the president. They are interested in removing the whole ticket.
Ooh. Oh, there's some inside. Some fighting. Fight happening. I love when people are like, I see what they say. I heard what you wrote. Yeah. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. That was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is giving some insight into the slap fighting that's happening right now. I am fascinated by this. And well, it is. It is a coup. I mean, it's a coup. Where's Biden? Nobody knows where the hell the president of the United States is. I mean, would we know what to tell the aliens who came down and said, blah, 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 take us to your leader, et cetera? We'd be like, sorry, dudes, we don't know where he is either. Maybe you know. You have all the technology, apparently. Why don't you tell us? Just, I'm wondering. So what does this mean now? Well, we don't know because we've never seen anything like this. This is the here, hold my beer election cycle, 2024. 2024 looked at 2016 and said, you weren't weird enough. I'm going to make it weirder. And it's not even us that's doing it. It's not even our side. We're not even the ones doing it. It's the Democrats. They're out there weirding it up for everybody. So they got their, I don't know, what I their candidate? I don't know. They got him out of the way. And you kind of knew it was coming. I think it's interesting. We haven't seen anything from really anybody. Pelosi has been very quiet. Oh, that's very interesting to me that she's been quite quiet. Because ultimately what she says is going to be what goes, right? You can have James Clyburn out there all day long, but Nancy Pelosi's got the power. James Clyburn can hem and haw and he can saber rattle, but it's Nancy Pelosi that's got the power out there. This is going to be very, I mean, it is. I mean, it was an absolute coup. And the fact that Obama did not endorse Kamala Harris is incredibly telling. Incredibly telling. These are the things to watch for. This is what you watch for. I mean, I even think that Obama has to defer to Pelosi and Schumer. I mean, that's how much power these people have. I mean, they praised Kamala Harris, but they didn't endorse her. And it's fascinating to me that the media is not asking the questions that should be asked. They're not going, A, where's Joe Biden? B, are you all uniting behind Kamala Harris? And C, which I think is the most important after where's Joe Biden, is why did you all cover this up? Is anybody in the media going to ask Kamala Harris why she's complicit in covering up this huge scandal? They weren't honest about his health and his obvious cognitive decline. It's so bad that he can't even run for office, but he can still be left in the White House. I do want to tell some of these Republicans that are saying that Joe Biden should resign right now. Y'all need to slow your roll for a minute, because that means you would get Harris immediately in there. And I just think that, you know, audio soundbite 22, Adam Schiff was asked about this. Listen to this.
If you are sufficiently concerned that you came out publicly and said he shouldn't run, how do you justify him serving as president right now if he doesn't have the competence to run?
Well, my concern was whether he would be able to win, whether he'd be able to prosecute the case against Donald Trump. I have every confidence in his abilities as president and his ability to continue doing the remarkable job that he's doing. But I am very excited to throw my full support behind the vice president.
I trust him about as much as my husband should trust me when I tell him I'm going to go to the animal shelter and get only one dog, which, by the way, sidebar, he told me I could finally do it. So that's a whole other. See, that's overshadowed by all this weirdness that Democrats are doing today. Yeah, sure. Only one dogs. That's right. Why did you add an S on there, Dana? What? I didn't. What are you talking about? That's on you. They don't know what to do. Oh, it's so shady. It's so shady. And then you got this audio soundbite 16. Jasmine Crockett, who is running her mouth all weekend on Twitter. She's talking about how people don't want Kamala Harris as the nominee. Listen to this.
And are you confident that there is no way to stand in the way of Vice President Harris being the nominee? It seems like she's getting all these state party endorsements.
I am not confident. I will be working and working and working. As you mentioned, there was the other call with Win with Black Women, which is actually still going on right now. I have been in touch with those delegates that have pledged themselves to President Biden in my district. We are in the process of contacting all of the Texas delegation. I am not confident at all, because as it was laid out earlier, I do know that, you know, behind closed doors, while I won't name names, that there were people that were absolutely like, it can't be the vice president. Wow. So in one breath they were saying,
and so that's something that that's not new, but it's interesting how many people are now unafraid to say this. Let's talk about this for a moment. Let's look at the because it's not a coronation. It is not. It's going to be a fight still. It is going to be a brawl, because you have the rules committee for the DNC. They're supposed to have a virtual roll call on August 7th because they were trying to avoid legal challenges from the Republican Party in on different various state ballots. As it pertains to Biden as the nominee, the convention kicks off on August 17th. So they were trying to get ahead of that. They were supposed to meet Wednesday of this week. And then their decision as to whether or not how they're going to do a virtual roll call, that wasn't due. They were supposed to have that determination made by Friday. And so it was to get around all of these different deadlines for state ballots, because for instance, in Ohio, the very first week of August, that's their deadline, their state ballot deadline. And they think it's going to be, unless there's, without a prolonged legal fight afterwards, they don't, if they put Harris on the ballot, they want to avoid that legal fight. So they're trying to move to do all of this stuff virtually before these deadlines to get around all of that. So what they're, the other question that this brings up, the virtual, you know, whole virtual roll call is, if they can, if they do it the first week of August, is it going to then bypass the prospect of an open convention for the DNC? And this, the whole, what that means essentially is what you have the days after Ohio's deadline, it would be the open convention. I was, and there's the delegates, the rule that they have, the DNC rule. Quote, delegates elected to the national convention pledged to a presidential candidate shall in good conscience reflect the sentiments of those who elected them. So Biden has over 3,800 delegates. I mean, roughly about 4,000 delegates that he won in all of the different caucuses and all of the different primaries, et cetera, et cetera. And that's like 90% of the delegate pool. But if he drops out, he releases his delegates. Now they're free to vote for. I mean, really, they're not there. They go from being pledged to unpledged. And that's how this works. And so they don't have. Biden's endorsement isn't binding, meaning he can't bind his delegates to Kamala Harris, and they don't have any kind of trick up their sleeves in their rule book for the DNC in order to make that happen. So it's going to be a Wild West show. Let me explain the delegate situation here before we get further into it. So you have the convention, like you with the RNC, you have your, I mean, it's pretty simple, right? But with the DNC, you've got two different types of delegates, essentially. I mean, you have to win. I mean, I think Biden, what, has 4,800? You got to get over like 2,300. And the superdelegates changes the amount because the superdelegates are based upon the elected Democrat officials, et cetera. You have pledged delegates and unpledged delegates. The pledged delegates, you have three types. You've got your district delegates, your at-large delegates, and your add-on delegates. All this stuff gets too much into the weeds. I'm not going to explain to you the different levels of it. It gets into legislative districts, all that stuff. Just know you got pledged delegates, the three types, and then you got unpledged delegates. Unpledged delegates are, these are the super delegates, and they are considered by the, this is how the Democrat Party describes them, quote, the embodiment of the institutional Democratic Party. Superdelegates are fancy people. Superdelegates are the people who are very important people, right? They are big donors, big money raisers. They are considered, I mean, they're kind of like all of the high standing members of the Democrat Party, congressional members, Democratic governors, you know, party leaders, you know, including like former presidents and et cetera. And they can, they are unpledged. They're superdelegates and they can do whatever the hell they want to do, except vote on the first round on the convention floor. And I'll get to that in a minute. So back in 2018, officially, although it got started in the wake of the 2016 Democrat primary, the Democrats began for the second big time tinkering with how they do their nominee process. Because if you remember in 2016, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders were pretty much neck and neck. And if you're being very honest about it, Bernie Sanders really mathematically won the real Democrat primary. But because of the participation of the superdelegates, which were pretty much all in part on Hillary Clinton's side, she ended up taking the primary. I mean, she just took it right out, like she just ripped the rug right underneath Bernie Sanders' feet. That's why there was so much controversy. It wasn't because he was throwing a tantrum, you know, because he didn't win and he was a sore loser. It's because he actually did win. And they had the superdelegates, and they've been, and they added that they really gave the superdelegates a lot of power after 1968 because they were allowing the party, regular party people, right, pick the nominee. And then when they picked McGovern, and then when they had Carter lose against Reagan, the party leaders were like, we can't have these, you know, unwashed masses picking our nominees anymore. Oh, my gosh. So they had a check on the little people, and that's the superdelegates. So it's really, whenever I hear Democrats talk about them going and choosing their party nominee, I laugh my ass off, because you're not. You're literally not doing it. It is the party machine that is doing it. They have it set up to where it's a failsafe. So you have you have the superdelegates, those are unpledged, you have the delegates. Half. Here's what's interesting. In 2007, and actually this was done again in 2014, Politico found that the majority of the superdelegates are white dudes. Think of it, though. Who are the Democrat Party leaders? Kane, who are the Democrat Party leaders? For all their talk about intersectional politics, right? It's a bunch of white dudes, old white dudes. That's the, those are the delegate. Those are the super delegates. It's hysterical. Now you know why there's so many of them are Clintonites, right? So you've got, these are the, and there's a whole process for the pledge delegates for them to be elected. It starts in the spring and they're elected during the primary election, all this other stuff. So now, technically, when they go to the convention in August, they're starting with an open convention. And you have these delegates, which are going to be free to do whatever. The, so you're going to have the pledge delegates, which are, if Biden's out, they're not pledged to him. So, and his endorsement, like I said, is non-binding of Harris. And 12 of the states, 14 states have laws that bind the presidential convention delegates to vote how they were allocated. But for 12 of those states, when the candidate withdraws, they're released. So now Harris has to solidify all the support from these 4,000 delegates from the states, all of them. And then the 700 so-called super delegates that include all the party leaders. Now, I have a, I think it's down here, but when Biden, before Biden announced, I mean, literally minutes before, they were apparently still, and I have this story in my rundown, they were whipping delegate support. Literally, like going up until the minute that the thing that the announcement came out, not kidding, they were still whipping delegate support. It was a huge surprise. Delegates were unaware until the announcement was published. That's crazy, but that's Democrats. We have a lot more on this because early voting starts what in a couple of months. And Harris, if she's going to fend off an Andy Beshear or anybody else, she's got to cement all of that support. She's got to cement the 4,000 delegates. She's got to cement the 700 so-called super delegates. And all, I mean, there's a lot of work that she has to do. And then, speaking of which, who are the contenders for her spot? And if she ends up cementing all her support, who would be the VP? We're going to talk about some of that. Because there are some names that aren't being mentioned as much as they ought to be. We couldn't do it without our partners like Goldco. Goldco is making sure that you are aware of all of your options to protect everything you have worked so hard to save. You've worked your entire life. You've worked hard for your family. You have built up some savings. Maybe you're preparing to retire wherever you're at. Goldco wants to help you because they also realize we're also paying $7 for a dozen eggs right now. Inflation's crazy. We don't know what November is going to bring, but we can pray about it. And you want to make sure that you're protected. And you can do this by diversifying and protecting your savings like I've done with top-rated company Goldco. Join the thousands of people like us who've done it. It's a number one rated gold company. Diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Thousands of five-star reviews. They get a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. They've been helping people like us place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. And they're dedicated to transparency with no pressure. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn how you can get started today. And you'll also get a complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Remember Venn diagrams, those three circles? Right. And then let's just see where they overlap.
You will not be surprised because I have constructed a Venn diagram on this. Remember those three circles, how they overlap?
I love Venn diagrams. So I just do. Whenever you're dealing with conflict, pull out a Venn diagram. Right. And so, you know, the three circles. The television coverage of just yesterday. That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet. Based on what we've just been able to see, and because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but just limit it to what we have seen.
For us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been.
What?
You know?
Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to,
oh my gosh,
do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
Oh my gosh, that's one of my favorites. Her face. You can watch the like hamster on the wheel in her brain. She's like, well, I believe that the time to be doing what we do every day is now what we're doing every day. Wow. Yeah. It's actually hard to say the stuff she says.
Yes.
It, I mean, when you try to like make up like word salad like she does, it is actually very difficult. And she does it with such a straight face. I guess Joe's been unburdened by what has been. But I'm all right. So coming up, Kamala Harris arrives at the White House. Ooh, we got all kinds of theories. The latest with Secret Service and so much more. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, ReadyWise. You want to always be ready so that if, heaven forbid, something goes sideways, you don't have to worry about how you're going to eat or what you're going to feed your family, because heaven forbid you have to go to the grocery store where there's going to be nothing on the shelves. You guys know this. There's literally nothing on the shelves except for health food. Like, nobody wants to eat the oatmeal bars. Nobody cares. Nobody wants the rice cakes. No, nobody wants that. So ReadyWise gives you peace of mind. In addition to giving you a premium survival food made of U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant from which they send it. And they've got free and fast shipping on most orders, ensuring that your provisions reach you promptly. They got a 72-hour food kit right now, and that includes 2 boxes, 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food, and it has 11,120 total calories in each kit, because that's what your body going to need to run on for survival. Heaven forbid, if natural disaster or political ones make things go sideways and times get tough, you can visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout, because that gets you 20% off of any regularly priced item. And all their food, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life, U.S. ingredients, U.S. plant. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Awful event. Now, Director Cadle, would you agree that this is the most serious security lapse since President Reagan was shot in 1981 of the Secret Service?
Yes, sir, I would.
And, you know, do you know what Stuart Knight did when he was in charge at the time of the Secret Service? Do you know what he did afterwards?
He remained on duty.
He resigned. He resigned. And Stuart Knight was not a Democratic appointee or a Republican appointee. Look, I'm not questioning your judgment.
I can't believe I'm saying these words, but he's right. I mean, that's actually correct. He's a Democrat. He's endorsed Kamala Harris as the nominee, but he's also said, yeah, you should. I mean, he didn't come right out and tell Cheadle, you need to go. But he's like, you know what the last guy did? He screwed up. He went. So he's not wrong. Welcome back to the program, top of the second hour, Dana Loesch with you, and a lot to get into. I mean, this is just the hearing with the Secret Service, the head of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, the ongoing, I mean, the stuff that's coming out about the Secret Service and the other developments about this attempted assassination, a lot. And then, of course, you have Biden out and then living in chaos on Rumble, actually gave us a Rumble rant, and it's actually funny. And he said, how many presidential aides does it take to change a light bulb? None. They're supposed to keep him in the dark. That's actually true. It's like the one job that you don't do your job. Exactly. That's your job. What's your job? You don't do it. Oh, got it. So thank you very much. Very awesome. I'm still like, I need a screen up, like another one. Yeah, I got this big giant one here, but I need another one like right here so I can see everything, like stock, you know, the stocks and all that. I don't know. All right, let's get into it, because I'm telling you, I don't think Biden's got COVID. I'm just going to say it. I don't think he has COVID at all. I think that that's an excuse for him to be frittered away in his beach house. If he's okay. I don't even know. Is he awake? Is he aware?
No.
Kane is wrapping him. Okay. So there's not enough tinfoil in the world to get us to where Kane is right now. Let me just say that. I think that he's just holed up at his beach house. I don't think he has COVID at all whatsoever. Because I thought here's why I don't think he had ever had COVID. Do you remember the story of the lawmaker that they said had COVID and was around Biden? Like a couple of weeks before he was at that Vegas event. And I thought, oh man, they're going to be testing him 6 ways to Sunday. And then they, that guy, like, they immediately, like, I guess, like, quarantine him or whatever. They wouldn't, if they thought Biden had it, they wouldn't have had him out shaking everybody's hands and doing all this stuff. You know, he's coughing because he's old and probably dying. I'm not, let's just be honest about it. This, you know what, also what I don't get into, can I just do this as a sidebar? I'm just saying this in advance of anything with Jimmy Carter. I know my grandparents and my mother used to have this saying. Well, my mother still kind of does. My grandmother did. And it also applied if you were like old and like almost dead, but not dead, you know, just there and the dead. And, you know, you don't speak ill of the dead, or you don't say, you're just, you only say nice things about someone who's like super old and sick or someone who's dead. And I totally do not subscribe to that at all whatsoever. You know why? Because you're not afforded any kind of courtesy if you were a jackass on this rock. Okay. I'm not going to sit here. Oh, well, bygones. Nope. And I'm not holding a grudge. I'm just not going to sugarcoat your nastiness. For what? Just because what you did something that millions and billions of other people throughout the annals of human history have done, you've gotten old and died. I'm not going to sit here and not say anything mean about you or acknowledge the fact that you were an absolute jackwagon when you were alive on Earth, just because somehow you getting old and sick, that doesn't invalidate any of that. No, I'm not doing any of it. No. I think it's pretty fair, Kame.
I said so.
Yeah. Because I see the press is already like, oh, President Biden, such a heroic. What? For real? Oh, yes, Joe Biden, you know, so can you believe it? He's such a... Oh, and then they're getting ready. You are getting ready to see a media fluffing like you have... Don't Google it. That you have never, ever seen in your life. Give me a better way to describe it, Kane. Because all I can think of are these headlines right now in front of me.
Boot lick? Butt kiss?
Yeah.
Okay.
That. They are going to try to create... They're going to try to Photoshop the reality of Kamala Harris. Airbrush, Photoshop, Facetune, whatever. They're going to try to do that. They're going to try to put all the filters over Kamala Harris. Imagine that one friend that has bad skin, and you know everybody's got one of them friends, right? You know, they just were on the struggle bus through their youth. You know, maybe the Accutane wasn't enough. I don't know. And, you know, they filter themselves to where they literally look like marzipan. Do you know what that is? The almond paste that you put over baked goods. Nobody looks like that in real life. They look like a damn character from Wallace and Gromit because they're so filtered out, right? And you look at their pictures on Insta or Facebook and you're like, chick, I know that you have age spots. What are you doing? Anyway, they're trying to do that to her whole record. They're going to do that to Kamala Harris's record, right? Here's the first headline. It's coming from everybody. A guide to the coming attacks on Kamala Harris. I'm sorry, what? Yes, it's a guide to the coming attacks on Kamala Harris.
The coming?
You mean like acknowledging her record and like being maybe kind of critical of it? The Kamala Harris juggernaut. Oh, boy. It's going to get so bad, isn't it? It's going to get so dumb. It's going to get so stupid. Yeah, it is. So they're saying Trump world is really mad that Biden is no longer running. Good heavens. They're really trying to set it up. Oh, Business Insider. Donald Trump is now the oldest party nominee for president in U.S. history. I mean, it was Joe Biden. Oh my. Hey, you know what? But he doesn't fall down on flat surfaces. Amazing that, right? I don't know. They're going to do this instead of answering the question, why did you carry the water for this lie? They're going to sit here and they're going to try to strawman her up into something that she is not. And you're going to see the media work to help her in ways that you have never, it is going to be a coordinated PR effort that you have never, the likes of which you have never before seen. It's not even really starting yet. It's just now kind of starting because they don't know really if she's got it yet. So they're kind of waiting. Instead of asking, why did you carry water? The same people that called you a conspiracy theorist for daring to suggest that Biden maybe shouldn't be running for office again because he doesn't look so great or sound so great are now the same people who want you to believe that Kamala Harris is just like a juggernaut, I think was the headline. Oh my God, really? Is that why she wasn't the juggernaut that wasn't officially endorsed by the Obamas hasn't even been endorsed by Schumer or Pelosi yet? That juggernaut? Okay. No, they are absolutely, they're not going to ask any of those questions. The media is not there to ask questions. The media is there to try to get power. They are just a wing of the Democrat Party at this point. Well, not, they are. They absolutely are. They're just there to get a Democrat elected. They're not there to ask questions. I mean, good grief. You had, what's her face? The lady who doesn't know the difference between the Nordstrom pipeline and the Nord Stream pipeline. Yeah, Nordstrom. I want a Nordstrom pipeline. I mean, those sales. I mean, come on, right up and put it right up in my closet. Let's get her done. How did she say emeritus?
Emeritus.
Tyranny. Jeez.
Tyranny.
Yeah, tyranny. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff that she is just not. Oh, and then instead of saying deep fake, she said cheap fake.
Right.
She's not an old lady, but she has like an old lady way of messing up stuff with that she says. And you guys know it. I had a great aunt that would guarantee mess up any name that you gave her. It was actually kind of funny. You think Starbucks is bad with the names on the cups? It was like my great aunt conceived that whole thing. So they're not going to ask about any of that. They played all of their voters for suckers, and their voters are like, oh, can I have some more, please? Democrats treated their voters like actual excrement. And the voters are like, yeah, that sounds right. Woohoo! Now we're off for Harris. You literally just got robbed. You went to the primaries and caucuses and you picked a dude. And now the party's like, nope. And you're not going to be able to vote for this nominee. This is an election in which the Democrat voters are literally not going to be able to select their own nominee. It's going to be the party insiders, just the way the party wants it. And then these people are the ones who have the audacity to sit here and go, our democracy's under threat. Do you even know what that is? Our democracy's under threat. You didn't even get to pick your character. Our democracy's under threat. Or your candidate. Good night. It's a cheap fake. How dare you criticize the man who's falling down on flat surfaces and thinking dead people are talking to him? How dare you? That's a cheap fake. What? That they said anytime. He the only reason, and they go, oh, Trump's a felon. The only reason Biden's not a felon is because they literally said that he was too old and senile to go to court. But he's apparently not old or senile enough to run the country. I don't know, man. I don't know. This is wild. But that's, yeah, the Democrat voters got played for absolute suckers. And then they're going to go out there and bitch and moan about democracy. You're not even getting to pick your own candidate. You're suckers. You got played again, like you got played in 2016. You got played. You got played again in 2020. But 2016, it was a little, they messed up. They showed you their hand a little bit. They weren't as surreptitious about it as they thought they were being. And now they're just doing it right out in the open. Well, that's okay. Yes, we all know that you voted for this guy, except you, maybe Ohio. We all voted for this guy, but now we're just going to put somebody else there. And the only reason that even happened is because he just foobarred the whole one debate. Yeah, so all Democrats got played like suckers, and they're going to sit here and act like they're the party of the people. Oh, no, they don't just have delegates. They got super delegates. I got delegates with capes. Well, they're super, Kane. What makes them so super? Well, they're not regular people. You know, they're not stupid, regular, unwashed people. They're Democrat governors and senators and big donors. So it's a bunch of nepotism. Yes. It's literally a system that's defined by nepotism. And then they go, our democracy's under threat. Absolute clown car. It is an absolute clown car. They need to replace the jackass with a giant clown. Actually, just it. Just have it. Yeah. The clown from Stephen King. You know, the story where he got real bored at the very end and was like, ah, screw it, a spider. That. Make it. That's their new party mascot. The donkey's too good. It's too good. At least it serves a purpose. You know, it works. It's a common animal, right? I don't even know where. Oh, my gosh. This is just, it's something else. We got a lot more on the way, including coming up the latest with the Secret Service hearings. Boy, oh, boy. And VP, or who? Let's start with who could challenge Kamala and then who would be her VP. We're going to go over some names and get you familiar with this. We have a lot to hit still, so don't go anywhere. As we go to awards, World Awards headlines, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And if you're fed up with supporting, giving your money to companies that don't, not only don't share your values, but actively work against you and your family, why are you not switching? I mean, people complain about Netflix, but do you realize how much money you're putting in the pockets of your ideological and policy opponents with your cell phone service, with your cell phone bill? You need to switch to Patriot Mobile because they actually back the things you vote to protect. They put momentum behind it. They've been very active in our school board race in the town in which I live. They're very active in 2A advocacy, freedom of speech, the whole nine yards. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, and they make it easy to switch. And you're also going to get nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You get the same great service, but you're not funding the left. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Dana to get that free activation and make the switch today. It's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
An 89-year-old comedian, why didn't they just say an 89-year-old lady? She's recovering because she was just randomly punched in New York. You know, if you're a tourist and you go to New York, you get free punches. You know that? It's like a thing. I love New York! Punch. An 89-year-old, she was just like knocked to the ground. She was waiting to cross the street. She just went to a coffee shop. She was waiting to cross the street, and somebody came up from behind her and then reached around and hit her right in the eye. She just knocked her right to the ground. I mean, she probably dropped her coffee, too. Good grief. And they said they were looking for a female suspect. And this is after Steve, you remember Steve Buscemi, what was it, last month? He got punched in the face. All these people are getting punched in the face in New York. I would not want to go to New York because you punch me. I'm going to want to punch you back in the face. I don't know. We got, it's just weird, man. That whole city. Also, let's see here. Ooh, America's Next Great Wine. Dustin, why is nobody ever talking about Southern Missouri wines? No, we're not doing this. We're not doing it. First off, no, heck no. No, no, no. You realize that when they had like a bunch of like a huge fungal outbreak in the wines in France, that we took cuttings from wineries in Southern Missouri and sent them there. And so basically they're all Missouri wines anyway. Just going to say, they're like, oh, there's a new wine region. It's the next great wine destination in Northern Virginia. And I have to say, some of the California wines are a little overrated. They said it leans more European than Californian. What does it even mean? I don't know. I'm not a Chardonnay drinker. I'm not a Pinot Grigio drinker. I'm usually a cab drinker. But we got a million moderately priced cabs out there, and maybe 50% of them are decent. But anyway, it's Southern. That's where it all.
And I kind of heard you in my head doing this story as like Schitt's Creek characters.
So if you love a good fruit wine like I do, then you're going to want to check out. See, we just need to get like Sazakaya or somebody to sponsor us, and then we can literally do the Moira Rose reads for them. Let's see. The FDA, again, missed its deadline to propose a ban on formaldehyde in hair products. And I guess they're talking about like straightening agents is what they're, because there are some that use, you got to be careful when you're using this stuff. We have a lot more on the way, including Dana might be getting a dog today. Do you ever ask yourself how you can work this hard and still be in debt? I mean, the piles of overdue bills, the threatening phone calls, the constant stress of wondering how you're going to make ends meet each month, it just won't stop. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. They've developed aggressive new strategies to end your debt permanently. Zero Debt USA stands between you and the bill collectors. They negotiate with creditors to lower or even forgive what you owe, and they do it all without bankruptcy or new loans. The bottom line is Zero Debt USA has powerful strategies that zap your debt quickly, so you have more money in your pocket every month. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive and you don't want to miss out. Visit zapmydebt.com and talk with one of their debt relief strategists for free and find out how fast they can get you out of debt. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. Visit zapmydebt.com.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Joe Biden is grounded. He's grounded in his faith, in his family, and in our state. Excuse me.
He's crying.
I'm sorry. This was a very difficult decision.
He's so sad. It's a very difficult decision. So hard. You know, we don't really see him anyway. He's always sick, always falling down, always in his beach house.
You don't even know where he is. None of these people even know where he is. What is this whole...
And
welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. Feels like the first still. It hasn't... I'm like, it's going too quickly. And you can speak it. You can watch everywhere. You can watch the simulcast as well over at Channel 347, DirecTV. You can find us at Rumble and X, all that good stuff. I had to... Hakeem Jeffries tweeted... Well, first off, can I get... No, I don't want him. Let's do... I want to read his tweet. He tweeted, quote, "We will not be lectured by extreme MAGA Republicans about democracy." Yeah, you will. And I thought that was pretty rich coming from the guy whose party just actually literally removed voters from the whole process of, you know, picking the party's nominee. Yep. Yeah. Well, I think you guys don't know what democracy is. I don't think you know how it works. Nope. Now, they got some problems over on the left. They got a lot of problems because they have Kamala Harris, maybe. They got a whole bunch of other people that are waiting in the wings. They got, I don't think Gavin Newsom is, Gavin Newsom is not, and that's Hakeem Jeffries, Juan showing you. Yeah, he's, I'm not going to be lectured by extreme MAGA Republicans about You guys don't even know how it works. You literally just slapped around your voters and said, no, we know you guys did this, but we're going to pick somebody else for you. That's what literally what you did. That's what superdelegates are. And that's how you use the word literally correctly. But they do have a little bit of an issue. So Gavin Newsom is not going to play second fiddle to Kamala Harris. Notice Nancy Pelosi hasn't weighed in yet, nor have the Obamas. Nancy Pelosi is close to Gavin Newsom. All their families know each other. There you have the Pelosi's, the Hearst, the Gettys. That's all those Californian families out there. They all know each other. Oh, and then Lorraine just told me apparently minutes ago, it said that Nancy Pelosi is endorsing Harris. So I think that Pelosi, if she's endorsing Harris, that means Newsom has signaled, I'm not doing it. He's not going to play second fiddle. And I also think he doesn't want to jump on a landmine. He can run, you know, in 28. Newsom's going to run in 28. He's going to wait. He's going to run in 2028. And that's how... Yeah, they're all like Cain asks, aren't they all related? And in like an incestuous way, all those families there are all, they all like this person dated this person's cousin, this person's uncle married this person. It's all like they all know each other. And he like kind of grew up, I think, with the Gettys. Newsom did. Yeah. So they're all, you know, they're all intermingled. It's all that old California money, right? So they've got kind of a bench. We are so lucky on the right that we're absolute brats. Can we just for a minute be realistic? We literally argue with each other about whose candidate spends less of our money. We're spoiled. We are so spoiled. We don't even know it. We have like a bench. We've got boomers. We've got Gen X. We've got millennials. We've got Gen Z. We got all of them represented. Democrats just got old hippie boomers, the bad boomers, the hippie boomers, you know, the hippie boomers that weren't the good hippie boomers, right? They weren't the people who just wanted to go up in the mountains and do their thing, right? And have wind chimes everywhere. It's not those people. They're the people that wanted to get involved in all your business. No, we have so many actual, you know, lawmakers who just want to make law and stay out of your lives, that it's actually kind of nice. I'm not used to it. We're spoiled at the same time. Who do they have? Let's look. You got J.B. Pritzker, who literally is our, I know I've said that word way too much this segment, but I really mean it. He looks like a villain from a DC story. He's like the Penguin's nephew from Gotham. I don't know, right? If you put flippers on that man's hand, I'd be like, oh. Got J.B. Pritzker. Okay. Who else we got? We got J.B. Pritzker, Andy Beshear, Kentucky. He's the one that I could see maybe being persuaded to be her VP. But again, do you honestly believe that the political intersection party that is full of box checkers is going to go for some like moderate white Democrat from Kentucky? I mean, he's moderate to them. He's far left to us. He was getting people arrested for not staying shut up in their home during lockdown. So you got him. You got maybe Big Gretch up in Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer, you know, who apparently worked with the FBI to try to entrap people in a plot. Who wants to kidnap me? Her. Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. Former astronaut, maybe. And then you got Pete Buttigieg, right? Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. I can't think of a dumber ticket than Harris Buttigieg. Oh my gosh. Actually, no, I can't. That's the joke right there. And have a great night, guys. That's our show. That's it. Harris Buttigieg. I just don't even. What? You know, it's so bad. They can't do. Somebody please think of the optics, right? I can't do a whole 60 days before early voting with that. I can't. So I don't know. I'm thinking Beshear. Oh, and then they got. You have those. They have Josh Shapiro. He's the governor of Pennsylvania. But they have a problem there. Audio soundbite 9. And this is where John King starts to. Now, there's two ways to look at it. It's either John King, damn, you're an anti-Semite, or John King is talking about them damn anti-Semites in the DNC. I mean, which is it? Listen.
Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro is being discussed as one of Harris's potential running mates. He also endorsed her tonight. In your view, what are the pros and cons for putting him on the ticket?
Well, he's certainly under consideration. I know that from key Harris allies. He's a first-term governor. He's Jewish. There could be some risks in putting him on the ticket. But certainly some of our voters here in Pennsylvania said, hey, we like Governor Shapiro. Give him a look. Also told Toto Anderson that some other governors, Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, are on the list of the Harris team. One Harris ally told me today they hope to get her within a few days, assuming her path to the nomination.
So they're saying, yeah, it could be a problem. Why? Because his Jewish faith is a risk for a party that's trying to cuddle up to Dearbornistan. Remember, these are the people that are like, yeah, let's spend $300 million on putting a pier that we only let run for 3 weeks over in Gaza. Let's do that. They've been trying so hard to cuddle up to Hamas and the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party that for Democrats, Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, his faith is a problem for them. So you have a party who's not going to allow their voters to actually select the nominee. It would be someone who is one of the most unpopular candidates in their party's history, who came in, again, I can't underscore this enough, Kamala Harris came in last, dead last in the Democrat primaries. That's why she had to drop out. She was behind Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg beat her. He actually got more support than she did in the Democrat primaries. That howdy doody looking dude. He got more support than she, a woman of color. I thought that was big to Democrats, right? So in the big, you know, MMA fight against identity politics, who wins? In this corner, you have woman black. And in this corner, you have dude gay. And then who wins? Like, you know, just the identities battle it out to see who walks away the victor. So I don't know. He ended up getting more. He got more support. I still can't get that one. Who are these people? But that's just how she's so weird, guys. She's so weird. I mean, she just. Can we play 8? No. Play 3. 3. Yeah, listen to this. This is why. Stuff like this.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion.
Who's that bandit?
About some of the most pressing issues of our time.
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
That's the indulgence you pay if you're God stupid. Wait a minute. I've got to go. That's what happens in a secular society that worships big moron. Not any biblically based, not any actual like real God. It's big moron, the big identity God. Well, wait a minute. I have to pay the penance. I have to, my pronouns, blah, blah, blah. I can't believe you got to, she's there wearing her bandit's mask going, my pronouns are she, her, and I'm in a blue suit. Did anyone question that? That suit identifies as green. Are you colorblind? How dare you assume my whatever? I mean, that's how dumb it is. It's that kind of stuff. I mean, she was asked last November if there was ever a problem with Biden. Do you think that you could go and tell the American public? Listen to this. She was asked this question. Audio soundbite 2.
Let me ask you in a more complicated way. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people would say she can't say anything else. She couldn't tell if there was a problem.
I'm not lying.
If there was,
I'm telling you a fact.
But if there ever is a problem,
yeah.
Do you think that you could go tell the American public? Do you think in your role that you're that you're in a position to do that?
Of course, if necessary, but there's no need for that. I don't. There is a political argument that is being made that is not based on substance. And you're asking me to hypothesize around what are my duties to the American people as Vice President of the United States that are based on ethics and morals and the law. I will always follow those rules. But I am suggesting to you that it is important we not be seduced into one of the only arguments that that side of the aisle has right now.
She's like, I got a train of thought. When she doesn't have a train of thought, it's I've been unburdened by what has been or some stuff. Audio soundbite 7. I'm just going to need this. Just we're going to save all these for forever. Just we're going to save them. We're going to play the tar out of these like in the next couple of months. Listen to this. This is
what she sounds like. What can be and be unburdened by what has been. You know?
What can be unburdened by what has been? What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be?
Jeez.
Unburdened by what has been.
What we can see, what we believe can be, unburdened by what has been.
What can be.
Oh. A piano.
Unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
Who we can be unburdened by who we have been.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
Where we can be unburdened by where we have been and unburdened by where we are right now.
What can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be
wow.
unburdened by what has been.
It's like a cult phrase.
So she's said that a few times.
Enough to make a 2 minute, 13 second long montage of literally just those sayings. Of just those sayings. Gosh, I can't believe that she, you mean she was beaten by that gay DEI hire who literally never did anything his entire life, is just couldn't even fill in potholes in South Bend? Yeah, she got beat by that guy. She's the AG of California and she got beat by this howdy doody guy who's, don't know what he does. I really don't know what he does. He show up to the office every day? I bet he shows up in a safety vest because he thinks he's going to do construction. How much you want to bet? I can't. We got a lot more on the way, including we have Florida man. Dana's getting a dog and all kinds of stuff to get dogs. Dana's getting some dogs. That's what we're doing. Shh. I'm actually finishing my second cup. I probably should know that, right? Black Rifle Coffee. Veteran-owned. Veteran run. They hire vets and active duty. And unlike some of the other folks out there, they actually roast their stuff here in the United States. They're dedicated to not only supporting veteran first responder causes, like they get equipment that's needed to first responders. They help them fight diseases, PTSD, all of that. But they serve premium coffee to people who love America. Everything from the roast to the bag art plays homage to American culture and military history. And they have explosive roast profiles, the best in America. You can get ground coffee, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, whatever you want. You can also get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. And you got, it's the coffee club. You got to be a member of the coffee club. So you pick your favorite roast or roasts. There's more than one. You select your frequency of shipment and have it sent to your front porch with free shipping only at blackriflecoffee.com. Use code Dana and get 20% off your order today. So get it all at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, we have a story, a stalking story from The Villages. The Villages. I feel like I'm talking about Minecraft. A villager, I mean, literally, it's like Minecraft. A villager was accused of tormenting her neighbors, but she is going to avoid prosecution in a stalking case after her neighbors were forced to sell their home and leave The Villages. Sousa Barr, 77, of The Villages, she was of Santo Domingo in Sumter County, agreed to enter into a pretrial intervention case to avoid prosecution. She had to do anger management. She apparently was terrorizing her neighbors because she got a dog and then would not train the dog, keep the dog on a lead. And I'm not one of those people who are against pit bulls because I actually know about dogs, and like people who think that they get a teacup dog and then act like I know dogs. But she got a pit bull. You got to train dogs that are bigger and you got to train them. She didn't train him. She didn't train this dog, didn't keep it on a lead or nothing. And she let her dog run around the neighborhood, and it was like running down and attacking other neighbors' dogs. So that's a problem. And she refused to do anything about it. It would go after neighbors' cats, all kinds of stuff. And so, according to the news here, that what's being reported. And then when she was asked by one neighbor to do something about her dog, she cussed him out. And then she just started harassing them. She was anybody who worked on, like, landscapers, package delivery people. Apparently, she would use foul language whenever she saw them. They issued had a trespass warning issued against her. And then she tried to have them swatted, apparently, when they tried to remove a tree from their own property. Oh my gosh, she finally had her animal taken away after it attacked another dog. She followed them, apparently, according to the story, harassed them. So now they had to sell their house. They left The Villages, and she got all these citations against her. She seems like she would boil somebody's bunny. I gotta be real. That's a crazy lady. We got more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners, Kel-Tec, awesome American company. Kel-Tec, American company, and Florida born and bred. And they share your values, obviously, but they're a very innovative Florida-based creator of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, gear, all kinds of stuff. And they've got game-changing innovation and performance. The Sub-2K Gen 3, light, foldable, and effective. I have the Gen 2 iteration. The Gen 3, you no longer have to detach your optics to fold it in half, and it just as quickly and easily deploys too. There's some redesigned and upgraded things on this. Like, for instance, you have lightened action for easy racking, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, ambidextrous bolt hold open, all providing improved manipulation and quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself at KelTecWeapons.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And we need real clear leadership. She understands it. She was in the position of looking over the border issue, so she understands some of the things that we need to do. But I think the key is what you just stated, Rev. The Democratic Party, they have basically went after assault rifles. They went after.
So this is Eric Adams, mayor of New York, saying, yeah, you know, Kamala Harris understands immigration, you know, because she was in the position of looking over the border issue. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour, Channel 347 DirecTV, the simulcast. Listen coast to coast. Find us on X and Rumble. She looked over the border issue so good, apparently, that the Border Patrol chief, Raul Ortiz, says that he never, ever talked to her. Audio soundbite 18.
I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president, for that matter. And so I was the chief of the Border Patrol. I commanded 21,000 people. That's a problem.
How are you the border czar and you not, you know, like, czar it up with the Border Patrol chief, right? How do you not do that? I don't know. But man, she's got issues. Kamala Harris has a lot of baggage, a lot of baggage. And they can, I mean, she's on energy. She backs a carbon tax. She wanted excessive taxes on the fossil fuel industry, you know, the cheaper and actually clean. It's cleaner than alternative. Don't say it's not. Go and look at the way that they get the rare earth elements. And then you tell me that that's cleaner, please. I mean, that's just like part of it. Economy. I'm just like looking at her. I mean, immigration. She didn't do anything on immigration except just kind of always rubber stamp whatever Biden did and Obama did. I mean, there was back in May, there was a poll showing that, and it was a YouGov poll showing that 48% of Americans, and it was heavily sampled Democrats, so that she was not ready to assume the presidency. Independents were even worse, 57 to 22. She has never done well with her own side. And the last survey that was done, she still is not well received or supported. Democrats made this mess because they have her as the number two, right? They have her as their number two. Who are they going to get? I think the only person, and Lorraine made this point too, the only person stupid enough to take and be the vice president on a ticket if it ends up being Harris is Pete Buttigieg, because it's the only shot he's ever going to get. He was a DEI hire who has literally never done anything in his life. That's it. He's where's he at now? Transportation? Uh-huh. Yeah, the guy who took 3 months off when he bought some kids and took 3 months off and because he needed, you know, the time. Buying kids is just like giving birth to them, apparently. Yep. And would not even answer emails, would not even do his job when he was there during a flipping lockdown, wouldn't even do his job. Supply chains disrupted, couldn't get him to answer a question. I don't know. Kamala Harris is not viewed as being a good contender against Trump either. And if they think that they're going to identity politic her way into some type of victory, there are a lot of independents that are turning away from all of that. And I don't think that that's going to help them out either. So this is just a mess for Democrats. It really is a mess for them. In terms of delegates, they've been, and we talked a little bit about how all this is going to work, the super delegates in our previous hour, because Harris has got to solidify support from 4,000 delegates. It's like 3,800 so far, 3,800 something that Biden has, roughly 4,000 from all the states, territories, D.C. And then you have 700 super delegates that are unpledged. You have pledged delegates and unpledged delegates, and those are the unpledged delegates, and those are the party leaders and officials and things like that. They're going to have to push into an open convention. She's got to solidify all of these delegates. Tennessee, they had a conference call Sunday. They said that they were committing their 77 delegates for Harris. South Carolina, 55 of their pledged delegates endorsed her during a virtual meeting. Now, they were the first to hold the Democrat primary this cycle. And usually that was a shift away from Iowa as the first in the nation. North Carolina, a group of 168 of their delegates voted unanimously to endorse her. They announced that on social media. New Hampshire also had a virtual meeting Sunday. They backed, their 25 delegates backed Harris. Florida for Democrats, they were the fifth to back her per NBC. That's the largest delegation thus far, 224 delegates behind her. Louisiana, 48 delegates. The pledged delegates are coalescing behind her following a call Sunday night. So they all had these, they all were doing their conference calls and virtual meetings to try to figure out, which is weird because right up until, I think it was like 20 some odd minutes before the statement came out from Biden, they were still whipping delegates for Biden. And what's more, I wanted to pull this up because this is really odd too. It was weird. The White House chief of staff, it wasn't Biden that informed his cabinet that he was not running, he was no longer running, that he was stepping down and he was not going to seek re-election. It was his chief of staff. So it said that Biden's post to X, per Politico, it was that Biden's post to X blindsided his staff at the White House and the campaign. They had gotten no indication that he was reconsidering his run. They said that since then, his chief of staff managed much of the communication across an anxious administration. They said he held calls on Sunday afternoon with the cabinet and senior White House staffers and was holding an all-staff White House call on Monday morning. It was his chief of staff that informed the cabinet. Now, I had made the remark that this is not the way a party convinces the public that its leader is still alive. I mean, this is a wild thing. It is a wild thing. I mean, I am amazed. How are you Joe Biden? You're doing this. It's weird. Now, a couple of other things, because we got more to deep dive into. So, as you guys know, we had total change of tune here, total change of direction for the show. So we had two dogs, and we lost one dog 3 years ago, and then we lost Rocco in February. Like literally the day that we got back from SHOT Show, Rocco was not doing well. And we lost him the day we were back. It was horrific. It was just, you know, it's sad. And we knew he was struggling. He had PAC surgery and he'd been rehabilitated and he was doing well. And then he had it's like a deterioration of his esophagus, this brachycephalic dog. And Frenchies are adorable and they are really the sweetest dogs, but they suffer so many ailments. I can never do another Frenchie again after what we went through with Rocco and Louie. I love them so much. But I could never, and if you are not committed to medical bills and allergies and all of that, you should not do a Frenchie. So, and it was really hard. I still have his little dog sofa. I still have his little food and water bowl. There were certain things that we just couldn't get rid of. Certain things we did. We donated a lot of their beds. They had beds all over the house. Rocco had to have beds literally all over the house because he had trouble walking. And I would put down like just cheap rugs, little runners for him to walk because we have hardwood floors because he struggled with his bad leg and his back and all that. So he could grip the floor. So he kind of like a weird, you know, weird stuff all around the house. But I did that just so he could had places to walk and he could, you know, grip the floor and he had beds everywhere. So we donated those to different shelters. And we always like, I don't ever talk about it on air because I get real Book of Matthew about it, but we always financially support shelters and there's like small shelters, like there's a great one out of Kentucky called Backroads that, you know, they find and rehabilitate these animals and we help with their vet bills and things like that. But I wanted to go to a shelter because I'm like, it doesn't feel right to just get a puppy. And I didn't want to go to the breeder route. I've gotten dogs from fancy breeders, right? I've done that before. I've had every type of dog you can imagine. And some of the best dogs that I've had were dogs that were just mutts. They weren't, you know, I mean, our dog Louie came from a very, like a champion line, and he still, you know, had all these ailments. It's nothing is a guarantee. And I wanted to go to a shelter, but here's my problem. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care. My problem is walking into a shelter and feeling like the Simon Cowell of the shelter, and I'm trying to figure out, well, this dog is good enough, this one isn't. What a jackass thing to do, right? I don't know how to do this because Kane was like, are you a worry that you're going to like vibe with every dog? And I'm like, yes, I am Snow White. Like I am the person that butterflies will land on and dragonflies are like, hello. And Kane asked me, he's like, do birds help you dress in the morning? It's a big problem. So I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want to walk in there and feel like these dog spirits are already broken enough. Like they're sitting in their little cells listening to like Death Cab for Cutie and cutting their paws. I don't know. Like, I just don't.
You mow dogs?
Yes. I don't know what to do. It's a problem. So I would love to hear from people who have done this because I will want all of them. That's my problem. I am a little afraid to let loose in there. Kane, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Internet, tell me, what do I do?
I know you fear you're going to vibe with every dog. And
yes,
that's
I will.
Fine
all of them. Even the ones who don't want to vibe with me, I'm like, no, you're going to be my friend. Like,
That sounds creepy. Don't do that.
You know what I mean, though?
No, but I think what's going to happen is you're going to see. You already have in mind the kind of dog you're looking at, right? You already have a vision in your head.
Yes, but then I know me. I know me. I'm like, Dana, this is the type that's best for us, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to go in there and be like, that one. I just know me. I know me. I'm a toddler.
But I think because of what you have in your head, you've been thinking about this for a while. It's not like you just started thinking about this a couple days ago. You've been thinking about this for quite a while. I think you have in your head what it is you're looking for. Yes. And I think you're going to vibe with every dog. That's fine. But I think you'll really vibe with the ones that you want. Well, I said plural.
Yeah.
With the ones that you want.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. Because my husband was like, now don't. Chris is like, don't sit here and try to make this a two dog thing. And I'm like, dogs? And I just keep saying the same thing. Like the pelicans from, what is it? Finding Nemo. Mine? Dogs? Mine? Dogs?
Mine?
And he's like, you know, he's like, if you do that, I'll just leave. And I'm like, well, I'll just Uber back with dogs then. What are you going to do?
Looks like it's going to be dogs plural.
I mean, it's just, and what if it had a friend and it has to turn and look at its friend like, well, you know, and like, goodbye. I'm your,
it you is get hilarious to stay though that you do care about what the dogs think.
I do. I don't care what people think at all. But the dogs, I'm like, oh.
But it's what you think the dogs think.
Because they're That's pure, and I want a pure thing to think highly of me, so, and I don't care what people think.
What's it going
to
be? Is it going to be one dog or two dogs?
Two dogs.
It's going to be two dogs?
Well, I mean, maybe if there's, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Okay. See, whenever I've gotten a dog, it's all, like, that has not been from someone else. It's always been a stray. So I've never gone into a shelter. As much as we've donated to shelters, I've never walked in there specifically for the task of taking a dog out.
The last dogs I've had have been...
Because I never wanted to walk where they... Because I know how I am.
Yeah, I've been from family or from people I know.
Because the moment I get in there, oh, man, it's going to be hard. I'm going to be walking out with full arms.
I personally think you're going to vibe with the one or the two that you know...
And is it snotty to go to some shelters and not the other? Like, I don't know. That's the other thing. It's like, what about all the dogs at this shelter that I didn't go to? Oh my gosh. You know, like, what a jerk am I, right?
Why? Because you can't take 100 yes. dogs? You're the jerk?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
That's how my mind works. It's like, Dina, how dare you?
I can't take 1,000 dogs. I'm such a jerk.
I don't know what to do. So it's very difficult. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going to try to, I'll try to update you with video. So we'll see how this goes. I couldn't believe that he finally did it because he had been hesitant about going up from a shelter because his dad was a breeder. And so he's
for 24 hours. I haven't believed you when you texted me yesterday that Chris said you could have dogs. I was like, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
You're not telling.
Oh, he totally did. I broke him, man. Lying. I broke him. I mean, to an extent, like he was like, okay, dog. And I go, dogs?
I talked to him today and I said, yeah, Dana's talking about getting dogs. And I told her, I don't believe you agreed to that. And he's like, no, actually, I'm going to go with her. I'm like,
he's a good man. Wow. All right. So we'll see about the dogs situation.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Sorry, I went really, really long talking about dogs last segment. So we're short here, but I'll make it up to you. All right. So a man got into a fight with a grizzly bear in Montana because he was out there picking berries and the bear attacked. 72-year-old man. He killed it, though. It was a surprise encounter. He was injured very badly. He had to be hospitalized. It was an adult female that charged him, and he had a handgun. He did protect himself. And Fish and Wildlife, they got involved. Obviously, he did it in self-defense, but man alive, can you be careful out there in Montana picking berries. And a big rig carrying 10,000 pounds of meat blocks lanes on I-680. It was a deadly crash. And then an alligator spotted wandering around Snohomish County. Good night. Stick with us. We have more in store. Apologies for shortness.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
So now you say you are not running, and your preferred choices have endorsed Kamala Harris. Will you endorse Vice President Harris?
Well, I want to see what her platform is and her positions. I want to see where she ends up on that, which I think is rational. And since we're not going to have any type of a primary process, I don't fault these very accomplished governors and people that have been considering and maybe now are being considered as a VP. You know, that's the new generation.
Hmm. So Joe Manchin says, I got to see what she does. I want to see what her positions. I mean, he served in the Senate with her, my dude. You know what her positions are. He says he's not challenging her for the nomination, but he wants to see her positions before endorsing her. Again, he was in the Senate with her. He just don't want to endorse her because he don't like her as a candidate. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour. Now, Nancy Pelosi endorsed last hour, endorsed Kamala Harris, saying, quote, with immense pride and limitless optimism for our country's future, I endorse Vice President Kamala Harris for President of the United States. I have full confidence that she will lead us to victory in November. Now, she had wanted an open process previously, but now I think that that's it. I don't think that they are going to be able to get anybody else, honestly, to run, because you're having to jump on a landmine at this point. I mean, that's really what it is. Who else are they going to get to run? Think about everything that you have to do in order to assume that spot on the ticket. I mean, golly, the money, getting all of that, getting all of this is, I don't know how they're going to do it, really. Politico said that the Biden team was whipping delegates literally as he was dropping out. As they were posting the statement, apparently his people were still on the phone whipping delegates for him. Golly, this is just such a mess. Biden said that he was going to be speaking to the nation about this at some point this week, but they didn't say when. Kane's like, you don't think he's going to at all? Not this week at all?
No, I'm sure Biden's body double will be out there talking just like they say.
You think?
Yeah.
His body double.
They're just getting the...
Why did I ask him?
They're just getting...
You know what? I'm just going to bring all the foil in and just foil you in over there.
Getting the human suit, you know.
You think he's in a suit? So Kane honestly believes... What do you believe? Tell everybody what you believe. You believe this. Go ahead.
Well, look, we have a lot of reason...
No, don't sit here.
Hold on.
Look at how reasonable he's being right now. But on break, he's like, oh, you know what?
I haven't shied away from my positions at all. But based on what we know right now, which is, have you seen the president for the past few days?
5 days.
The signature that was on that resignation letter tends to be a little tiny different than the signatures he's recently put on some legislation.
He's like falling down on flat spaces.
Yes.
He's going to completely not be able to sign his name.
Which reinforces the case of him getting out of there. But I think that his defiance over the weekend, remember when we were going into the weekend on Friday and he was like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm running.
Yeah, now he's like, I'm not running.
Well, somebody, deep state or otherwise, convinced him that his COVID was going to get a lot worse if he decides to not bow out. And now here we are. A signed letter, no video. Like, wouldn't a president put a small little video
something
out there?
Yeah, something.
Anything. Nothing like that has happened. So I think that we're being bamboozled by those who've been pulling the strings.
I mean, it is weird that, because it's not on official White House stationery either. Now, that could be because it's his campaign. And he just did it because they're so, I mean, I get that. And that's, you know, I'm kind of looking at that. Maybe that's why. But yeah, a lot of people were asking questions but also too, their handwriting, especially because isn't it set, the rumor is that he's got Parkinson's, right?
Yes.
Okay, he's got C-3PO arms.
I mean, they've denied that.
Okay, well, look at him though. I mean, they can deny it six ways to Sunday, but I mean, we see him. I mean, look at him. So it does sort of look like, I think he signed it, but I think that he's also just not physically capable of doing his job. And that's why, you know, that's why he did it.
But they can't even polish him up a little to get a quick little 1 minute video out there. Like that.
They can't polish him up to get him even 2 minutes of video without 11 frillion jump cuts. Like, I'm Joe Biden. I mean, that's like that bad, you know? It's like five jump cuts. Like, I'm Joe Biden. I mean, like, they put together, they might as well just have him sound out every possibility of the alphabet and just put words together AI like that. Oh my gosh, they could do an AI video. This is when you might actually see AI if it hasn't already been introduced.
Cheap fake.
The cheap fake. I don't know. But there's not, anything. I mean, I'm looking at his letter. He doesn't say anything to the anything to Americans. Doesn't say anything to Democrat voters.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What in the world? I mean, you're this. This is wild. It is a. It's a letter that was released on his digital social media account that's run by a staffer. There isn't a photo. This is a very, and this is when it gets very troubling for it's a national security issue, I think. Because what happens if you have a tyrant or a terror cell that decides to get froggy? Where's the president? Where's the commander in chief? Drops, says he's not running for re-election. Nobody's seen him in a week. No photo. He just has this letter that they released on social media and that's it. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to think about stuff like that, but I have to be practical and to be, and it's smart to consider everything. I don't know. I just don't know. I think though that I honestly believe that in terms of getting Biden out, I think it was Obama that had, it was Obama and Pelosi, but I think it was Obama too. I think both of them together shoved him out. Some people were saying, oh, he's Chicago waiting. Yeah, he probably did. I think the Biden family was too busy protecting Biden to, and covering their own backsides than to pay attention with any of this other stuff. I mean, where's this at? I wanted to pull this up too. This was, hang on, let me put, because there was a story, yeah, Joe's brother, Frank, this was weird. He said that the way that he, and this was, do we have this audio? This was, let me drop it in general. This was a CBS report. It was just weird the way that they talked about this. It was a CBS report, and apparently the way his brother was describing it. Let me know when we got this audio, because I saw this morning, and I thought that's a little odd.
I have the audio, but...
Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and show this, because this was the... this is when CBS was reporting it, and I guess they spoke to his brother. Listen.
Others, and here's what he told us. He said, I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine hero. Country over self. It sounds corny in our cynical political environment, but he nor I are cynical. The goal remains the same. Defeat Trump and continue the work that Joe has done. My hope is that our party rallies around this heroic act. We asked him
whatever time we have left. So when he was asked about this, like a couple of weeks ago, he's like, oh, he's in tip top shape, is what he had said. Yeah. So now whatever time we have left, it sounds like he's on death's door. Is that not weird? Am I reading too much into it? That's weird.
You're seeing what I'm seeing. You're seeing exactly what's helping shape my beliefs.
I don't know, man. That's weird. That is, I don't know. And then in addition to all of this, I saw this last night as well. Hunter Biden dropped his suit against Fox News, mm-hmm. where he was going after the revenge porn stuff. I think it would have been hard for him to win that because there's the measure of, are you a public figure? And he is a public figure. And he was the one who put this stuff on a public website.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So you can't say that you were revenge porn when you literally were selling your stuff to a public website. Cause I'm assuming he makes money off of it. I don't know why anyone would take video of themselves. Oh, like literally grossed out myself just then. And put it up on these websites like that, you know, near Hunter Biden. But so he dropped because nothing was going to come of that anyway. Man, what a mess. And then while all this is happening, you've got the Secret Service stuff. This hearing has been unbelievable. And you even had, I dropped you some AOC audio, which I can't even believe I'm going to say we're going to play this because my heavens, this was, there's a couple. Have we played 36 yet?
36.
Jim Comer had asked, why didn't you place an agent on the roof that was within range of really any weapon? Listen to this. This was just insane. Listen.
day of the attempted assassination and leading up to that day. Let's start with the building that the shooter used to shoot President Trump from. At any point Saturday, did the Secret Service have an agent on top of that roof?
This statement from Barack.
Sir, I'm sure as you can imagine that we are just 9 days out from this incident, and there's still an ongoing investigation. And so I want to make sure that any information that we are providing to you is factual.
Okay. Why did the Secret Service not? Can you answer why the Secret Service didn't place a single agent on the roof?
We are still looking into the advanced process and the decisions that were made.
Okay. Wasn't that building within the perimeter that should be secured? Do we agree with that?
The building was outside of the perimeter on the day of the visit. But again, that is one of the things that during the investigation we want to take a look at and determine whether or not other decisions should have been made.
One of the things that you said, I believe, in an interview, that there wasn't an agent on the roof because it was a sloped roof. Is that normal? And do you fear that that immediately creates an opportunity for future would-be assassins to look for a slanted roof? I mean, this is a huge question that every American has. Why wasn't a Secret Service agent on the roof? And there have been reports that agents were supposed to be on the roof, but it was hot that day and they didn't want to be on the roof. Can you answer any of those questions, Director?
So I appreciate you asking me that question, Chairman. I should have been more clear in my answer when I spoke about where we placed personnel in that interview. What I can tell you is that there was a plan in place to provide overwatch, and we are still looking into responsibilities and who was going to provide overwatch. But the Secret Service in general, not speaking specifically to this incident, when we are providing overwatch, whether that be through counter snipers or other technology, prefer to have
no answer.
Sterile rooftops.
Did the
no answer. And I can't even believe I dropped this in Slack, this AOC audio. I can't even believe I'm getting ready to play this. But AOC was even saying, why do we not? There's no information. It's been over a week. They couldn't answer. She couldn't even answer about the perimeter. They couldn't say whether or not, as it has been reported, the killer took his gun and stashed it there before the event. They were asked about. She couldn't say that. She kept saying things like, well, I'm waiting to hear. And lawmakers were going, wait, you're the director of the Secret Service. Who is informing you? Why are you waiting to hear? And I can't even believe that AOC actually asked questions. And I can't believe I'm saying this. This is how bad the director of Secret Service is. Listen to this. This is, wow.
They're happening in about 100 days. So the notion of a report coming out in 60 days when the threat environment is so high in the United States, irrespective of party, is not acceptable. And I think it's very important to understand that. This is not theater. This is not about jockeying. This is about the safety of some of the most highly targeted and valued targets internationally and domestically in the United States of America. So the idea that a report will be finalized in 60 days, let alone prior to any actionable decisions that would be made, is simply not acceptable. It has been 10 days since an assassination attempt on a former president of the United States, regardless of party. There need to be answers.
Wow. Yeah, have to be. She actually sounded genuine there. Can't believe I'm saying that, but she did. Look at that. That is wild. I don't know. This is, do you honestly think they're going to get timely answers from this? She's not resigning. This lady has said she's not going anywhere, which is amazing to me that she can sit there and look at a room full of lawmakers who are all genuinely concerned because you got Secret Service protecting the current president right now. And she's saying, I'm not resigning. I'm not stepping down. I'm staying in the job.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
What they do is misinformation and disinformation, and they keep saying, he's a threat to democracy. I'm saying, what the hell did I do for democracy Last week, I took a bullet for democracy. What did I do against democracy?
Yeah, well, he's not wrong there. Welcome back to the program, Dana Loesch, with you. We're at the rolling towards the conclusion of our third hour. And we're going to watch all this play out, you know, how all of this goes. I'm going to have a, we'll have a little primer up over at the newsletter. You need to subscribe to Chapter and Verse over at Substack, because it's going to be a weird process, because the DNC is not like the RNC. And clearly, they're not going to allow their voters. You don't get to redo all the primaries and caucuses. They're not going to, their voters are shut out at this point. And we're going to follow that. All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It will be election denier Hakeem Jeffries. Yeah, he is actually, I guess he's bragging about Joe Biden's record over the last 3.5 years. I guess there's a legacy to put out there. But here he is now. It's just sounding stupid.
What do you say to those, whether it's Ron Klain or congressional Republicans, who claim that Democratic Party leaders or elected officials push the president out?
President Joe Biden is a heroic, patriotic, and transformational figure.
Really?
And he will go down in history as one of the greatest public servants of all time. That much is clear. Yeah.
There's a legacy to protect.
Yeah, they got to protect that. All right, yeah, there you go. Folks, that does it for us today. We're going to keep you informed all throughout the week. Make sure you go find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great rest of your night. Back tomorrow.